Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart, and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are here already into the third week of February. Time is moving so fast, and we have got to be focused about our life, what it is that we want out of our lives. There are many things that we put in God's hands, and there are many things that we are responsible for ourselves. And so as we've been talking through the month, we've been focusing on relationships, and we started off, you know, looking at the whole relationship and the success of that and the failures of that and what it really takes to hold on to a relationship and make it work. And then we moved on to the concept of courting versus dating and the old-fashioned values that we have almost let go of, but to realize that it really is important to take the time to invest in a person and invest in a relationship and to do things God's way. And we heard from the men. And by the way, I just want to say that movie Old Fashioned is in movie theaters and it's doing so well that it's now increased distribution. So it will be coming to a theater near you. Please go and see it. I saw it. It did not disappoint, and clearly it has not disappointed others. It grossed over $1 million, and it was clearly an underdog movie. And the people have spoken and said, you know, we want something else that represents love other than out there in terms of just satisfying your temporary needs. And tonight we're going to go deeper because as women, sometimes we look to compromise. We make little shortcuts here and there in order to capture that man's heart or to bring someone into our lives almost prematurely. And when we do that, we're the ones who lose out and fall short. So tonight we have Sabrina Williams with us, who's author of many books, but we're going to be focusing on her book, Wait on the Lord, tonight. It is a fictional account, but it is based on experiences, some of the experiences that she's had in her own life. So, Sabrina, welcome. I'm so glad you're with us tonight.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
Very well, thank you. Very, very well indeed. So we've been spending the whole month talking about relationships and the various points of relationships. And, you know, I myself speak freely of have been single for a very long time, 14 years, and what that means in terms of waiting on the Lord and what that process looks like. So when I saw your list of books, that's the one that just kind of jumped off the page for me. And I said, you know what, if we can get you in for February, I wanted you here to share with our audience. So I'm very glad that you're here with us tonight.
And I'm glad to be here with you tonight.
So let's do this. Why don't we talk a little bit about, you know, who you are? We can start with, you know, your childhood. What was your family like? What was life for you like growing up? What kind of, you know, did you have a single family home or a traditional family home? What was your setting like?
Well, growing up, I came from a single parent home. My mom was a teenage parent. And when I became maybe about the age of 10, or 11, I went to live with my grandparents, and my grandparents raised me until I was about age 18. I had a relationship with my mom. I have an older sister and two younger siblings. And my experience growing up was, it was a very unique experience because we have a very large family. And my grandparents were very supportive, very involved. And we always had the opportunity to do family things together. So I would say that I had a very engaging childhood.
And being with your grandparents, I know coming along with that usually means getting exposed to God in some type of way or, you know, being exposed to church. Was that the case for you?
Yes, we went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday for Bible study, you know, all the other church functions. I was raised in a Baptist, a missionary Baptist church environment. But it wasn't until I met my husband and began to go to church with his family that I truly developed a relationship with God. Before, it was more so out of tradition and just religion, but it wasn't until my late teens, very early 20s, that I developed that relationship with God and really understood what the purpose of going to church was about, and it wasn't just about going just to have a place to go.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about your marriage, because as you said, you know, you ended up being raised by your grandparents, and here you are, 18, a young adult, pretty much on your own. So who were you at that time, and how did you end up getting married so young?
Well, me and my children's father, we dated from a very early age. I was 13. He was 15. We were like best friends. He was 2 years older. And so our relationship just grew out of a friendship. And we decided at a very early age that we knew we wanted to be together and raise a family. So we got married early. He had graduated from college. I was a sophomore in college. And we started our family, giving birth to our very first child, which was our daughter. And so the relationship and the marriage, of course, we struggled because we were so young and had the responsibility of a young child, that we faced a lot of obstacles. Financially, communication,
mm-hmm.
just things of that sort. But through that marriage and that relationship, I learned a lot. I had to grow up really fast, couldn't always run home to grandma and granddaddy, you know, who were like my parents, couldn't run home to my parents for everything because they were old-fashioned. And they
mm-hmm.
were like, you know, you have a husband, go home and make it work. And so I just grew up really fast, juggling the role of a wife and the role of a mother. But I knew it was ordained by God, that it was God's purpose for me being that marriage, because God saw us through some really difficult times.
And, you know, I have to jump in there and concur. I got married at 23. I was a mom by 25, a mom of three by 28, and by 30, my former husband suffered renal failure. So I don't think people understand the amount of pressure that is on a young couple when they get married, just what would be the normal pressures of life for someone who had graduated and started working and building a nest egg and all those kind of things and getting the counsel,
right.
And that there's immense pressure financially and emotionally, as you mentioned, that really take away and can drain a marriage that actually can end up being very strong and very beneficial. What happened in your case?
What happened in my case is I believe it was just, you know, we sort of grew apart. Our interests and our, I would say our desires for life sort of just overwhelmed us, and we just really didn't know how to mend it back together. Really wasn't drawing on our strengths, our spiritual strengths to keep things together. But I'm not bitter or angry or anything like that for, you know, how it happened or why it happened, because I know God always have a purpose and a plan. But what it did teach me is that marriage is a ministry. And if you don't look at it any other way but that way, you will have failure. So it taught me, many things, and I thank God for that experience, because now it gives me the opportunity to share my testimony and share my experience with hopes that I can help other couples, you know, go down the path of success in marriage.
Definitely. And we're going to actually dive into that a little bit more in just a few moments. You know, when we go through a divorce or separation, it does change us. And in the moment, we don't necessarily think that we can make it through. You know, in hindsight, mm-hmm. you can say that now. But in the moment, as you were going through this, how did you think you were going to continue, raising your kids? And, you know, did you see yourself as following the legacy of being a single mom? Did you think you would remarry again? I mean, what were the thoughts and the emotions that you were going through at that time?
Well, very early on, I was just very confused. Like I said, my husband was my very best friend. I mean, he was someone that I respected, someone I loved, someone I could count on, someone who I could talk to, someone who was closer than a brother or a sister in my life. So I think the biggest thing that I was dealing with at the time is I felt like a part of me was dead or gone or broken. And so I dealt with the brokenness, of the marriage, more so the fact that I felt like I had lost a piece of myself through losing him through the divorce. And how I dealt with it in the beginning was just making myself very busy. I was back in college, and, so I just occupied myself with schoolwork. I got busier in the church, busying myself within the ministry at the church. And then I realized that I had to deal with me. I could not, be so busy that I neglected the fact that I was hurting, that I was, that I was broken and that I was hurt. And I remember being so broken one day at home, that the Lord just pretty much told me, that a ministry would be birthed out of my brokenness. And that there was other women like myself who was broken, not necessarily from divorce, but just from other circumstances and other
right.
choices and things of that sort. And I began to share.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, it's amazing because God will bring us through that and to the point where he says, I'm going to actually use this as your platform to be able to turn around and help and bless other people. And we see that in the scriptures, and we see that in his word. And so one of the things that I can hear right away that was very beneficial from your relationship is that, as you mentioned before, when you were growing up, it was just religion for you going to church. But through mm-hmm. your encounter with your former husband and with his family, you were able to position yourself to be in a relationship with God for yourself, to know the King mm-hmm. of Kings, the Lord of Lords for yourself. And I think that's the first place that any of us need to get to, no matter what the situation or what the burden is that we may be facing. And when we come back from this song, we're going to get into more about how God used this ministry to begin to heal you, actually, as you are in the process of ministering to others. But all of us need to start at the same place. We need to go to the King of Kings, for help.
Truth is, I'm kind. I'm just a fool. I'm trying to
God's plan for romance and marriage become old-fashioned. Take a reformed frat boy and a free-spirited girl attempting the impossible in modern-day America. An old-fashioned courtship and a God-honoring relationship.
Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is old fashioned. Old fashioned. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters this Friday. Find a theater near you at oldfashionedmovie.com.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we are back talking with author Sabrina Williams on her book, Wait on the Lord. And the thing of it is that Sabrina has actually gone through experiences herself where she was able to create this wonderful story and wonderful character. But before we get into the book, because we're definitely going to hit that in a little bit, but I wanted to go back to your own personal story, because before the break we were talking about the fact that, you know, your first marriage ended, you know, it ended, and then you are in this place where you're, you know, raising your family and you get yourself involved with busy work, you know, to keep yourself from dealing with it, and then you stop and you realize you need your own healing and wholeness, and God revealed to you that he was actually going to use you in ministry. Share with us a little bit more about what he revealed to you.
What he revealed to me was, you know, that there were many other women like myself who was broken and hurt, and that the church really was not really dealing with women with true brokenness. You know, that there was women ministries within the church, but it was also a place where they were going and being busy and not necessarily being healed. And so I started having Bible studies in my home in the living room, and each week I noticed that, you know, a woman would bring another woman with her. And it grew so large, so we really outgrew my apartment. But the women were talking about real issues. You know, they were talking about, you know, abortions and domestic violence and church hurt and relationship hurt and molestation and just real core issues. And God was like, you know, I'm going to allow you to be healed through your brokenness, you know, because you all are going to be healed together. And that's exactly what happened. Through the whole process of the Bible studies and the prayer and the fellowships and the intercessory prayer times we would have together and building covenant relationships, I found that God was healing. He was actually allowing me to look at where I erred in the marriage and, you know, how I wasn't being patient and things like that. And he allowed me to use my testimony many times during those settings. And then I realized one day that, Lord, you're actually you know, developing a ministry on the inside of me. And I asked him what it is that he wanted me to do and how would he have me to go about it. And that's when he gave me the name Total Vision Ministries, because he said, I've given you a full vision and I want you to share it with others. So I operated in that ministry under that name for about 10 years. About 10 years. And it's been about 8 months to a year now where I changed the name of the ministry to Queen Vision Ministries, because what God was showing me was that many women that I was coming in contact with did not recognize their true value of being queens. Mm. And I had a friend, a ministry partner of mine, who told me on several occasions, she was like, you know, someone can just tell you their vision and, you know, you just help them to bring it alive. I mean, you just have this way about ministering to women, and hearing women and helping women birth what's on the inside of them. I'm going to call you Queen Vision. And, you know, I just thought it was just cute and, you know, that she was just being nice. And then God actually dealt with me and told me, you know, to embrace that, because he also believed that it was time for a shift and a change in the ministry. And that's how, where I am today with my ministry, Queen Vision Ministries.
Absolutely awesome. You know, you touch on so many points there, because when women come to you, or when women gather in that way, and you have all these very different circumstances and situations in the room, one of the things you realize really quickly is that there's no one fix. There's no quick answer. And God doesn't work the same way with you that he's going to work with me. And so you really do have to have an attitude of prayer and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to give advice that is solid, you know, based on the word of God. And, you know, I wanted to say right after the break that when we went in, we were talking about, you know, it all starts with having that relationship with the Lord. And on the show, I always talk about Romans 10 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And that is the starting point. And it doesn't mean we don't go through things. It doesn't mean that there won't be difficulties and real challenges and issues to look at and deal with. So you actually were able to create that great, wonderful support group with and for each other. And so that's an amazing thing. And I love this part about you being healed through this process and you being brought into other things. So how long of a time period was this from the time, you know, that the marriage ended to you developing in ministry and going forward?
It almost, I would say, happened like immediately because, like I say, you know, it was during the transition where I was just, you know, meeting with my friends at the house, and we were just, not even out of organized time, you know, just having Bible study and just reading over the Bible and just praying. And then, you know, people would bring other people. I would say it probably fully developed probably like after a year or so, but I can't really put my hand on a definite time frame. But I know it was, it happened very suddenly, like, it just started happening, and then people be like, okay, I'll see you next week. And I'm thinking, I had plans for next week, you know.
That's not how it was going to happen. But now, getting back on track in terms of women and relationships and waiting on the Lord, what didn't happen immediately was you getting into another relationship or finding someone. And it was actually about 5 years before you thought it was probably okay to put your feet back in the water. Talk to us about that situation.
It was about 5 years when I decided that, you know, I had gotten to a place where I was just really lonely and really felt like I wanted to date again. I felt like I was ready to just, you know, give love a chance again. I felt like that was a good, you know, time for my children to accept, you know, the fact that I was going to be dating again. And I met this guy. He, you know, presented himself very well. We, you know, would go to Bible studies together and hold Bible studies together and read the Bible and talk about the Bible. And really, he really came across like he had the same principles and values that I had. And I remember asking God, you know, God, you know, are you allowing me to, you know, walk back into the arena of marriage? And I didn't hear from God. I mean, it was like God wasn't saying anything. But, you know, I got really anxious and really walked ahead of God. That's what I did. I walked ahead of God. And I remember just asking God and pleading with God, you know, to give me an answer. And I could hear him saying, my daughter, you need to wait, you know, just wait. And, you know, I'm like, well, how long, you know, must I wait? And, And when we're being anxious and we're operating out of the flesh, it sometimes distorts our ability to actually hear from God. We could think we're hearing one thing and God is speaking audibly and he's speaking into our spirit, but we hear what we want to hear because we want to satisfy the nature of our flesh and satisfy what we want to see manifest. And so I end up marrying this guy, and the marriage only let.
I'm going to pause you right there because I want to actually touch on something. You'd only been in dating for about 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm. We were only dating for about 6 months.
And I want to talk on that because, like you said, our human nature to be anxious, and we're like, when you're saying, well, Lord, you know, how long? And in hindsight, it's like, well, it's only been 6 months, you know? But in the moment, you're like, yes, this is the one. I'm ready to move forward. And you said something very crucial in terms of not hearing anything. And I know that stumped me when I was a young believer and I would ask very specific questions, but I heard not a yes or no. And I just want to say to the listeners, if you pray and you don't hear a yes or a no, take it as a no. And don't move on it until you hear from the Lord either way. So take that silence as, you know, just a pause. Stop, and you wait until you actually do hear something, and then you did hear, and you heard wait. Now, what did you think he was saying to you when he said wait?
I thought when I heard wait, I thought he was just saying, you know, wait on the timing, like not this month, you know, not right now, or you know, just wait until I develop a plan, or, you know, I was internalizing it to what I desired. I was hearing what I wanted to hear. And what I realized was that when God, like you just said, when God is silent, or he gives you an answer, but the answer is not clear, take it as a no. Take it as a no. I really was, and another thing that is now coming to my mind is that, you know, when you're dating and you're in the church and you're in ministry, you know, the church can have an influence on your waiting process because now people are wanting to know, well, when are you going to get married? I see that you all have been dating for a while. You know, what are your intentions? And I did hear some of that. I did hear some of that, and not saying that it contributed to my decision because I should have waited on God, but it was a tune that played in the back of my head also. You know,
there are definitely social pressures that people
mm-hmm.
face, whether it's in their family or in the church, and that's something that you really do have to have the stamina to deal with. And unfortunately, there should be more concern about providing solid marriage counseling to make sure these two individuals are able to walk into something that will last instead of just rushing them down the aisle. And I think some of that is because people are so scared that they're going to end up sleeping together, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they're like, well, let's
mm-hmm.
just let them get married first. And that's not how it works, because you one is the self-discipline that it would take for both parties will only make it better for them when they're married, in terms of learning to respect one another and learning to be patient with one another and not being selfish about just your own needs. But talk to us. You said that, you know, you ended up getting married and you realized that very quickly that you weren't ready. Talk, what did you start to see right away that let you know that you weren't ready?
What I started to see was that I had made a decision out of loneliness. I had gotten to a place where I was healed and delivered from my hurt, but I was not healed and delivered from being complete within myself. I still had some areas of loneliness, some areas of abandonment from childhood, just some areas that I thought had been delivered along with my brokenness. And when I realized that this man did not have the power to complete me, and there were some other issues within our marriage, I realized that I had walked outside of the will of God. And I tell you, when you walk outside the will of God, you will be chastised for that. And I caught a lot of grief, a lot of anxiety, a lot of just uneasiness. And I knew that I had walked outside of God's will. And so I remember praying one day, getting ready for work, and I pleaded with the Lord, and I said, you know, Lord, I repent for, you know, going outside your will, and if it, you know, if you would just please give me an opportunity to dissolve this marriage, you know, it's very young marriage, if you just give me a chance to dissolve it, I promise, you know, we do that promise, that I will make, you know, that I will make good on this, and that I will, you know, be more careful in my stance as far as relationship goes, blah, 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 blah. And God, you know, made good on those promises that day. That day, that was in, I believe, 2006, I believe. And that person left that day, and I have not seen them since.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, people
not even for the divorce. Not even for the divorce proceedings.
Wow.
They were absent. So, you know, right. God will help us in our foolishness.
Yeah, I've heard many scenarios over the years from various women, and I have another sister who shared that the moment she said that prayer, you know, that person was, you know, removed from their life, and then there are people who are listening who are saying, well, God wouldn't want it that way. But as I said earlier, every woman, every person has their own circumstance, and God is dealing with you within that. And of course, we can get into all kinds of, you know, doctrinal things, but what we're talking about here today is learning and healing so that you can grow in the Lord and you can move on, mm-hmm. and make the better decision and make the wiser decision. Tell those who are listening, any woman who's listening today, what is it that you feel that you know now that you wished you knew then, in terms of whether it's things that you shouldn't have been concerned about, whether it's the ticking clock, you know, or what do you know now that you wish you knew then, that you're taking with you as you move forward?
I'll go back to the statement that marriage is a ministry. I'm really strong about that. I really feel very passionate about that. I really feel that if I had known the process and the standards of marriage according to God's word, the way that God would want us to face marriage, I think I would probably be married to my first husband. But because I was unlearned and untaught and really was trying to do what the world say a wife should do, cook and clean and, you know, and all those things, be a good mother and all that, but it takes more than that. You know, it takes more than just you know, being a good cook and keeping the house clean and all that. It requires you covering your husband. It requires you supporting his ministry. It's more of being submissive. I'm not saying being walked over, but it requires you to be submissive. It requires you to be a good listener, not so much of getting your point across.
Right.
There are many things. Many things that I learned, and if I had known that, then I think I would have fought harder for my marriage. But, you know, God has a plan. You know, had it not been for the divorce, I would not have had the ministry. So I thank God for, you know, I can't question God, and I'm not angry with God. I thank God for him sustaining me. And giving me a crown of ministry through the process.
Right. I mean, this radio show, it came out of brokenness, right? It came out of me realizing, just like you said earlier, there weren't enough resources out there when I was a single mom trying to stay the course to help with the despair that you feel at the end of the day when your head hits the pillow, you know, and mm-hmm. You that word of encouragement that's out there, and I wanted to provide that for someone who is going through anything to know that God's no respecter of persons. If he brought me out, he brought you out, he will definitely bring them out. But the key here is you can't keep waiting on tomorrow or waiting for tomorrow. He's giving you one life to live. And so what you need to do is start the communication process with him, develop your relationship with God, and you'll find that new and great things will transpire in your life.
God's plan for romance and marriage become old-fashioned? Take a reformed frat boy and a free-spirited girl attempting the impossible in modern-day America. An old-fashioned courtship and a God-honoring relationship.
Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters this Friday. Find a theater near you at oldfashionedmovie.com.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
All right, well, we are back. And, you know, I was listening to the lyrics of that song by Mandisa. And Sabrina, you know, you can really express that you are living for today at this moment in your life. You know, you're not sitting on the sidelines. You're not waiting for tomorrow. You are waiting on the Lord. And there's a difference, because I think there's a confusion there. And if you can speak to that for a second, there is a confusion sometimes with us as women between waiting on the Lord and waiting in a way that your life is just passing you by and you're not living it. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, I always, when I think about that in general, I always think about, you know, when Boaz found, you know, his helpmate, she was in the field working. She wasn't at the mall. She wasn't, you know, doing busy work. She wasn't, you know, sitting home depressed. She wasn't, you know, sitting around with her girlfriends gossiping. She was working. And I think that, you know, as we're waiting, we need to be working in our purpose, working on the assignment that God has given us. Because it's one thing to, you know, be waiting, but God says that we must not be idle. You know, we must be working. We must be doing something, having our hands to the plow. We must be doing something, because one thing that I do know, after talking to, you know, some young men, and I have two brothers, and just, you know, being in the company of men, professional men, you know, they always say, you know, I'm not looking for someone to necessarily take care of. I'm looking for somebody who you know, we can build an empire together. And so, you know, that we can have a ministry together, that we can grow together, that we can develop together. And if you don't have anything to bring to the table, then some days you all are going to be hungry, because he's not going to always, you know, may not always have something to bring to the table. But if you have something and he has something, then you may have day, you know, plenty of days where you're full and satisfied. So I want to just say to the ladies that continue to work, continue to, you know, walk in your purpose. If you, you know, are in ministry at your church, continue to do that. If you have, if you're a single parent and you have children, you know, cultivate their gifts, but be doing something. Just don't think that he is going to just ride up on a white stallion horse and sweep you off your feet, because it may not happen that way.
Wow. So let's get into the book. You've written a number of books, but talk to us about the book that you've written, Wait on the Lord, and your lead character, Siobhan.
The book, Wait on the Lord, I say wait, was written, you know, after I went through that season of, you know, not waiting on the Lord, and the Lord, you know, told me that, you know, he was going to allow me to write this book. And it wasn't just for me to, you know, have as a memory or reflection of when I did not wait, but, you know, to encourage other women. And he gave me all the characters, you know, everything about the book. He pretty much just laid it out for me. And so the main character of this book is Siobhan Washington. And she's a young lady, and she has everything according to world standards. She has, you know, the car of her dreams. She has the job of her dreams. She has money. You know, she has a good family. She has supportive friends. You know, she has goals. I mean, she has everything. But the one thing that she lacks is a husband, and that's the one thing that she desires. She wants a family. She wants a husband. She, you know, she wants to build a ministry with someone. And this book was written in an era where online dating was very, very popular. And And so, you know, she goes onto this Christian dating website, and, you know, she doesn't put up a profile picture or anything, and, you know, she's just, you know, peddling around, and she meets the Black Emperor. And they begin to dialogue, and she keeps hearing the Lord say, wait on the Lord. I say, wait. And she tries not to get anxious. She tries not to divulge too much of herself to him. You know, when she wants to wait, she wants to, tell him more about herself. She keeps hearing the Lord say, wait. And so she waits.
Black Emperor, what a tag name to have online when you see that. You know, it's interesting that you bring up the online dating. I'm actually going to have for our very last show of this month a young man who is a believer, and he has crafted a unique matchmaking service, and part of that is an online piece. And it's interesting because there, you have Christian Mingles and all of these Christian versions of online sites. So it's a topic that readers can definitely connect to, even if they haven't done it. You know, you've thought about doing it, or maybe you've at least created a profile. So it makes her very relatable. So I don't want you to give it all away because we want people to grab the book, but what are some of the things that she's going to experience? What are some of the, key points for her?
Oh, what Siobhan experiences is trust, and she's, she's not sure if she should trust this person. She's not sure how her family would, adjust to this non-traditional way of dating. So she's having all these thoughts and questioning herself about, is this right? She keeps it a secret for a while from her friends so she's really just trying to develop this relationship with this person online while trying to hear from God, And it gets to a point where Siobhan, begins to allow her thought patterns to override her, and she wants to see him in person. She wants to make sure that, he's real, because, their conversation is going good. They're, having some really intellectual conversations. And then she hears from God. She kneels to pray at night, and she hears God tell her to wait again, that she must wait, not be so hasty or whatever. And so she's left to decide if she's going to really wait. And so in the process of her waiting to see if she's really going to get a chance to meet him, she has a small interruption in her family that sort of takes her away from chatting with him online. And so now he starts to feel like, where is she? Was she real? So, it goes both ways. But God really did a great thing through dialogue in this book.
And I'm sure she goes on a journey, and I'm sure she learns lessons that we can learn from, because we don't have to experience everything. We can learn from other people's mistakes and experiences and journeys. Tell people where they can actually get hold of the book, or even find out more about you and speaking engagements, things of that nature.
I'm on Facebook as Queen Vision Sabrina Williams. My website is queenvisionministries.weebly.com. I could be reached via email, Sabrina Williams, that's Sabrina Williams @gmail.com. I could be reached by phone. My number is 352-275-3549. And I'm just open to, discussion about the topic. I'm just open to hear if people have testimonies. I just like to network and, meet new people. The book can be purchased on my website, or you can contact me directly, and I can get the book to you. I've had many book clubs. One book club reading the book right now. I had another book club reading about 2 months ago, and they were all, the one book club was all single women, and I tell you, great reviews, great discussion, and you will enjoy it as well.
All right, so there you have it. We think our situation is the only one, and we're the only one going through things, but we're not. And what we've gotten tonight, if we haven't gotten anything, is that we can get to the point where we say, Lord, If you want me to wait 5 years, if you want me to wait a year, whatever it is, I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord, because you have got my back. You're the one who's taking care of me, and you're the one who wants the very, very best for me. Any last words that you'd like to share before we sign off tonight?
Yeah, I just want to let the queen know that, you know, never, you know, wait for someone to value you. You are already valuable. You were created to be a queen. And, you know, when that Boaz do come, he's only going to be compliment to who you are already. So know your value, know your worth. And when he shows up, when you're found, you'll know that it's him, because he'll come with that special signature from the Lord. And, you know, just wait on the Lord until you get that special signature.
All right. And until then, I want you all to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you and paid the price for you. So wait on him, because he's got your back.
Amen.
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind.